Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 127 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And we are hosted on the Rampage Network 8 webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of fessworks.com and, too many things to mention. But we also have Mark Savory with us of autumnlake.com. Welcome.
Hello.
And if I get this correct, I believe we have Adam Knave with us of thingswrongwithme.com.
Howdy.
Well, alrighty. We are recording a little bit later today. By the way, Adam, how are you?
It's been an interesting weekend.
Really? What'd you do?
Won part of an Eisner.
You won part of an Eisner?
I was the assistant editor on Pop Gun 3 from Image.
Okay. Wow.
And the co-editor on 4 and 3 won the Eisner for Best Anthology this weekend.
Very cool.
So, a little surreal.
Well, awesome. You know, well, congratulations on that, of course.
Thanks. Yeah, no, and past that, it's just, you know, trying to deal with San Diego Comic Con while I'm in New York.
And right.
My writing partner, DJ Kirkbride, who is, you know, one of the editors of Pop Gun and one of my best friends and a great co-writer. We write a lot of print comics together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was trying to drum up work, and I'm just getting these text messages going, I think these guys want to work with us. I'm like, stop telling me, and just say yes. What, is there money involved? Then why haven't you said yes? You know. So it's been a weird one.
You didn't go to Comic-Con.
I did not, because I have things like rent to pay.
Oh.
And San Diego is far.
Yeah, from New York, yeah, so totally. So Pop Gun, this is, you might as well tell us a little bit what Pop Gun is.
It's kind of we like to call it the comic book mixtape. It's a huge anthology of comics. The Pop Gun Volume 4 ran 512 pages. Okay. And yeah, there are stories that are a page long, and there are stories that are 30 pages long. And it's pretty much everything across the board. There's no set genre, no set art style. We just try to find the best of everything that we can and put it between two covers and see how many pages we can get away with before we get yelled at.
Awesome. And is that available from anywhere right now?
It is available everywhere. Any comic store should have Pop Gun. Amazon has it for cheaper, but, you know, I'm saying go to your comic store because they like you and they need your money.
Right, they do.
So, right, you know, totally right. Buy the comic store if you can. But it is available everywhere, okay. All four volumes.
Well, I'll encourage our listeners to go ahead and take a look at that and check that out. And on the subject of comics, it's a webcomic beacon. We talk about comics. Ooh. This week, we are going to be attempting to, we're going to discuss comics, as in, what does it mean to be a comic? I kind of wanted Adam on the show at some point to talk about his, I'm going to put up quotation marks, comic, because it's maybe about as technical as you can get to being a comic that's unrecognizable as a comic. If you go to thingswrongwithme.com, you basically will find avatars, but the avatars do change with text next to them. It's not text within an image, it's actually, you can highlight it and everything, and... Oh, wait, no, it isn't an image, isn't it?
Nope. No, it is not.
Oh. Well, I was trying to highlight it, maybe it just doesn't... Oh, I see. It doesn't do an outer highlight right now. Not on my browser, anyway, so it's... And it's basically, like, conversation. Now, when I first saw this... I thought, like a long time ago, I thought it was, like, people texting each other.
And I get that. I've had people tell me it looks like, you know, IM conversations or text conversations. And there is a lot of that, and I'm not disagreeing with it. you know, certainly whatever you feel it looks like is perfectly fine by me. but it is, I'm not gonna, it is comics. And yes, you have to go for a large definition of comics in some senses.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, I'd argue, experimental. You know, it's not what you're going to see everywhere else.
No.
And if we can come up with a better term for it than webcomic, I'll take it. But I haven't found one yet.
Tone poem. We don't, I don't know where that came from. I just
no. So then I started thinking, like, okay, there are a few different definitions of comics out there, and there's, let's see, what's a good definition website? We'll go to one right now.
If you go to Wikipedia and look up comics, they have both Eisner's and McLeod's.
No, but I want like a I'll go to dictionary.com just to
oh, okay.
just to see what it says. According to dictionary.com, comics has four dictionary results. Let's see. Comic book. Comics, comic strips. Doesn't really. This thing sucks. There's like, they don't show anything. Okay, adjective of or pertaining to a characterized by comedy, a comic opera, or of or pertaining to a person who acts and writes comedy, of or pertaining to a characteristic of comedy, provoking laughter, humorous, funny, laughable. A noun, a comedian, comic book, comics, and comic strips. I'm sorry, you cannot use a word to define itself. This site sucks.
A book that reads with more pictures and action packed storyline. Storyline. That's what Urban Dictionary has.
Yeah, comic strips. Okay, I'm officially not going to be using dictionary.com anymore. This is terrible. Their app sucks too.
Comic, short for Comic Sans MS, an overused and ugly computer font.
All right.
Definitely not what we're talking about here.
So, does anybody have an abridged version of what Eisner's definition of comics are? Comics is? I'm trying to find it.
Sequential art.
Is that what it was? Because I got Scott McCloud's first book right in my hand at the spot. I think it started. Oh yeah, Eisner's term seems like a good place to start. Let's see if we can expand it to a proper dictionary size definition. And he just told us a card called sequential art. And then this is on page 7 of Understanding Comics, and it goes into, there's questions from the audience, and there are a lot of different kinds of art. How about something a little bit more specific? And then he suggests sequential visual art. What about animation? Isn't that sequential visual art? Well, technically, yes. And so they're going through this, and I think he somewhat sort of ends up with juxtaposed pictorial and other images in deliberate sequence.
Wow. That's almost as bad as the word cartoon. Because that means animation, but it really means, it just means like cartoons you draw.
No.
It's just as bad.
Well, okay, I guess he retyped it up in the next panel here on page 9. It goes, comics, in a plural form used with a singular verb. One, a juxtaposed pictorial and other images in deliberate sequence intended to convey information and or to produce an aesthetic response in the viewer. So the idea is, you know, you got sequential art, and then this would come into the idea of, does a single panel comic count? I would argue no, unless you look at the archive.
But it's a comic.
Family Circus. I would argue absolutely fucking not that it's not a comic, but that's me.
Well, here's the thing.
But it's comic art. It's comic art, though. Indeed. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
McCloud agrees with you. Things like Family Circus are not comics for him. But then you have, you know, the issue of something like, say, Sin City.
Right.
Which, if you read the original, you know, there are a lot of, and comics do this all the time, one big splash image and just a bunch of text next to it.
No, but it's in a book, though. It's all sequential. It's all sequential to itself. You know, that's why when you go through an archive of a site, you know, the comic pages, the comic strips, they're sequential with each other as well. You know,
well, it's a graphic novel. It's a story that's been.
Well, sure, but I mean, at what point do you stop kind of narrowing down? Because as a story, as an entire unit of story, sure, you can say, well, that's obviously a comic. But you remember this thing came out with, like, you know, 8 pages at a time, and there were sections where there was no sequential art going on, except that each page came after the next. And each one had a single image and text. So if that's still comics, is it not comics when it's by itself? Is it only comics when it's surrounded by other stuff?
I'd say it's not comics by itself. In that case, it's just art.
So, like, Sin City was comics and stops being comics and goes back to being comics?
Well, no, I'm not saying, well, if you're like, looking at a bound, you're bound something, it's all right there. The only reason why, I mean, you can't make these comics, it's not practical to make these comics in a big roll sheet, for one. and it's kind of accepted and understandable and accepted that you can't have pages. It's kind of like panel separations. You know, a page is just another panel separation, essentially. As long as it's, you know, bound together. If you take, like, a single panel, like, from a story, like, even from a webcomic or a strip, and you just put that single panel by itself, that's just comic art. It's not comics, because it's not with anything else. It's not sequential to anything else right there.
Right. But again, if you have, let's say, like Sin City did, multiple pages where each page is just a piece of art and text that are separate but informing each other, and you have 7 or 8 of these in a row, and that was published as a section of Sin City by itself before it was collected into a volume. Back in the Dark Horse Presents days.
Well, yeah. But it still is next to some other stuff.
Sequential.
It reminds me of the old Carlton comic books where you had the sequential art, and then part of it was set aside, and it was a text story with 2 or 3 panels of art. Does anybody remember those but me?
Yep. No, I remember them. I just think that a lot of the definitions all boil down to words and art that tell a story.
But,
and out of that, you get sequence because you need sequence to tell a story. Otherwise, you're just using flashcards.
So we're not talking about cartoons, which,
right,
to my mind, not meaning the animation part of it, I guess you could say that, but I'm thinking like magazine, like New Yorker type thing in a magazine, and Playboy or something like that, cartoons.
Yeah, those are cartoons.
Or then you have the funnies, which usually aren't very funny.
Well, those,
like,
are also
Family
comics,
Circus
though,
and Marmaduke and stuff like that.
Yeah, those are funnies, but, you know, they're a type of comic, or comic art even, for the single panels. Oh, Ben Carver's correcting you. They're not Carlton comics, they're Charleston.
They weren't Charleston. They were Charlton.
Charlton.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Somebody's wrong here. That's all I'm saying.
The Charleston was a dance. Whole different concept.
Let's see here. Was Eisner's definition essentially that simple, though? Sequential art?
It kind of was. It was wordier than that. Like, I don't have it in front of me. I know Wikipedia's entry on comics has it, word for word. But yeah, you know, it really is kind of that simple. There are way too many, and, you know, doing something like Popgun, doing a lot of the comic stuff, there are way too many examples of comics that don't fit what people might think of as comics up front.
Do you have any examples of that?
I wish I remember the name of this damn thing. Activate? You know Activate, the webcomic group?
Oh, yeah.
They had a text-only webcomic that ran for a little bit.
It was like not just text, it was an image of text.
Right, it was image of text. It was text that had been, through design,
okay,
you know, warped and changed so that the text itself reflected the story that it was telling.
Oh, okay.
But it was just text, and it was just, you know, that's it. That's all it used. There were no definable images as such. Just the warping of text and typography to tell that story. How successful it was, we can argue. I have my own issues with it. But
would we call that graphic art, though? as opposed
it's
to a
not really graphic. It's text. I mean, I'm sure there is artistic form to font. You know,
it's typography, and you know that's art. But is it comics?
It depends. It can be argued. Certainly.
I don't know.
Because, you know, then this is where you get into the definition of what art is, or what I like to make fun of people that wear all black and Brett's saying, art. Just because, you know, the pompous art exclamation of some people, that's not really art.
Right.
And, you know, those assholes. But, you know, certainly fonts are valid, as in they certainly have artistic flair. Oh, a lot of them do have artistic flair.
Yeah, but
that's
art, though, which isn't the same thing as comics.
Right. But you can still use art in a way and make it. I'd have to actually see it. If it's basically just typing, and if they'd have to really do something with it and to be creative, and it can be like one of those exceptions or tries or experiments, but I wouldn't forefront just tout this is the most extreme new webcomic type of thing out there, this is what we're doing now, you know. I can't see them being absolutely that serious about it. But then again, I don't know. It might have been a good trial, might have been a try experiment, and people are going to be doing this in webcomics and sometimes in print comics too. So it sounds interesting to at least to check it out if we can find it. And I'm getting Ben, are you quoting? Ben's giving me a quote. Typography is not a big part of graphic design.
What?
Oh. Typography is not a big part of graphic design because, well.
Well, actually.
I mean, it can complement it. I mean, certainly you can change your font depending on how your character is going to be speaking, and it can change the tone. But I can agree with that. It's not going to be a big part. Like
I would completely disagree
really?
With that.
I'm with you.
Because have you ever picked up a comic? Let's just stick with comics for that. Okay. Ignoring the world of graphic design, like pick up any book off the shelf and tell me that the type is not an integral part of that cover. But let's just stick with comics. Have you ever seen a book that was badly lettered? Versus, say, John Workman?
I'm not sure. I need to correct. Ben did say that it is a big part. Sorry, that's my bad.
Ah.
My bad, sorry.
You got me all riled for nothing.
No, but it's still a good point to bring up. So go ahead. I'm not sure if I've seen anything with really bad. Some webcomics I've seen with, like, okay, you got to make your font bigger for one in order to read it. But, mm-hmm. but go ahead with your argument.
There is, God help us all, there is a graphic novel of Twilight. And let us all hang our heads.
Oh, pardon me.
And porn.
Oh, sorry, I had to throw up. Look,
what?
We mentioned Twilight. It's,
yeah,
oh,
no.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
But this thing was lettered, like, and again, comic. It was lettered in Times New Roman.
Whoa, with, like, bad.
With balloons that were not given any size so much. It was just so obvious someone had a balloon shape in Photoshop, set it for various transparencies because they put it over the art. And then just drop in some Times New Roman. And you look at that versus, let's just go right to the head of the class and go to John Workman, you know, and look at his work with Thor, where things like his sound effects are integral to the art. You can pull that forward to Frank Quitely's Batman and Robin stuff, where if you look at the first issue, you know, the sound effects are actually literally a part of the art. He drew them as part of the art. You know, a car hits the water, and the water comes up, and it forms the word splash. Typography is crucial.
Absolutely. Totally agree. I wonder if that graphic novel with the Times New Roman, of which I will not mention the name. I wonder if that was designed, this is a tangent probably, I wonder if that was designed for an international market. And so then somebody could just drop the lettering in whatever they needed whenever. Whatever language. And you don't think so? No?
I can actually tell you why I'm going to disagree, but first of all, there was no letterer credited, which is always a bad sign. Like,
that's
no one.
A bad sign.
It was just like they found some kid on the street who was like, you want a hot dog? Letter it. here's a typewriter. Go nuts, kid. But I actually had me and TJ had some of our stories reprinted in Italy. And they had to, of course, translate it. And so we got them the original lettering files from our letterer, and they stripped out all the words, kept all the balloon shapes, and made it work. Because that's what a letterer does. You don't need to do this for the international market unless you're lazy and don't give a damn about your final product, which sums up the entire Twilight book.
There you go. Which could be possible.
Well, alrighty here. Everyone's a little riled up. Okay, so yeah, actually, I was going to mention that I remember seeing some sort of comic that was all like, it was just typing. And I was like, no. Boo. Then, of course, let's see here. Well, actually, let's go ahead and take our first break since we're hitting about 20 minutes here. And when we come back, we'll dig right into this some more.
Yeah.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
Recording, and we're back. So apparently Comic-Con is going on right now, and how much of Comic-Con is actually Comic-Con and not just a big media whore movies and
or movie stuff or yeah whatever.
Hey, you know, it's sad, and it is very, I mean, you look at like CNN, which full coverage of Comic-Con, why it matters and all this, not a single story about comics.
Last
year, G4 did a weekend full of coverage for Comic-Con. Not one thing about comics.
That's sad.
Just comic movies is what they're talking about.
Movies, TV shows, the whole bit. And part of me, you know, dies a little inside when that happens. And I have a spot on my floor picked out to curl up in a ball and cry. But on the other hand, it brings money to the medium.
Yeah.
The news won't cover it, but there are, you know, what, 60,000 people now who go to Comic-Con? More than that, I'm sure. And, yes, they're going to go see the latest, whatever, True Blood panel, because that has a lot of comic tie-ins. And, you know, who cares? But they're still passing by comic stuff. They're still seeing it. Mm-hmm. They're still interacting with it. And if, you know, half of those people buy a comic, that's way more than they would have bought otherwise.
Right. So it is good in that aspect.
I wonder if the, because Comic-Con now, it's in different cities. There's one in New York and there's a couple of others. Are they just as Hollywoodized or not? Or is it just because the big ones in California?
Don't mistake that. Comic-Con is, San Diego Comic-Con is only in San Diego. The other comic cons are just, they're all run by various outfits.
They're not connected.
No. Some of them are. If you go to comiccon.com, they kind of have a list of cons that are kind of under their umbrella, but they're not actually run by the same people. Then you have Reed and Wizard, who both run their own series of cons. Reed runs New York, for example, and Chicago. And there are, you know, as many cons as there are weekends in the summer. And they don't tend to all be run by the same people. And they're all very different. You know, Baltimore, which I will hopefully be at the end of August this year, is almost only comics. They won't let exhibitors do stuff for movies. They really are just a comic convention.
That's cool.
And it's a wonderful time if you can make it. New York is less so. Huge gaming area, for instance. They actually, Reed, who runs it, had a New York anime convention they were trying to make work, and it didn't, so they're folding it into Comic-Con in New York, so no one knows how that's going to play out yet. But they still do have, like, you know, last year at New York Comic-Con, I was working the con, and right above where the table I was working at was the studio booth for MTV. And all they really talked about was comics, because that's 99% of what's there.
Well, that's really cool that you can keep some of the riffraff out, I suppose. but you know, you got conventions all across the country, all serving different markets, and so if you can't find what you want, it's probably somewhere, and you just need to find out where it is and get to it. I brought up Comic-Con because there's a couple of things that are of interest with Comic-Con. One is some people have probably seen this at the Comics Alliance website, comicsalliance.com. Without trying to get too into it, basically there's this group that feels that they need to protest things. Anything that brings anyone, anything that brings anyone sort of happiness, I guess, or whatever. But, you know, as we comic lovers like to worship our false idols like Superman and Batman, I guess, there's a comics group or people got together and did a protest. And if you go to comicsalliance.com, you can see it. Superheroes versus the Westboro Baptist Church. It's awesome. There's pictures. And there's a guy dressed up as Bender with the Kill All Humans signs. There's a God hates Jedi. God hates sentries is held by like a TF2 spy, and all this other stuff. Like, this is awesome. I love this. Is like the best way to counter protest is to actually have a protest and just go nuts with it. So this is like awesome to see. And so my hat is off to you. So, and also, obviously getting away a little bit from comics again, but you kind of got to look at this and be like, you know, that's goddamn cool. Scott Pilgrim. If you go to scottpilgrim.com, you know, it's a six-part, what is it, mini-series or something like that?
It's a graphic novel.
It's a graphic novel, six-part graphic novel. Scott Pilgrim versus the World is a movie coming out, and I've seen the trailer, and I'm looking at, they're incorporating a lot of stuff.
They are.
From the comic, and that is how you fucking do it, you know?
Well,
it looks promising anyway.
Well, have you read Scott Pilgrim?
I have not, and I'm already really excited for it. I'm going to get the comics, I think.
You need to. It is, I mean, as somebody who reads way too many comics, partially because I have to, and partially because it's a sickness, it is possibly the best series of the decade. Just an amazing bit of work. And the movie really does seem to hold true to it.
I heard that they already screened it for Comic-Con people.
They surprised everyone. I don't know. Did you hear the details on that?
Depends on. I haven't heard any details. I just heard that they did that.
Well, yeah, no, they showed up with like the entire cast and, you know, Edgar Wright and all, and they were giving out. There's a joke in the trailer, I believe, where, you know, someone says, "What are you doing?" And Scott goes, "Getting a life," and grabs a little one-up mushroom.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Because it's Scott Pilgrim. And this is what happens in Scott Pilgrim. And they were giving out little teeny Scott Pilgrim one-up pins, like, for random fans. And at the end of the panel, Edgar Wright was like, "So, any of you want to see the movie?" And everyone was like, "What?" And it turns out that anyone who got a pin got just walked over and saw screening. No warning.
Nice!
That is awesome! That is super awesome!
Yeah.
So, I can't wait for this movie. Does anybody know when it comes out?
August 13th.
August 13th. That's not too far away. I can wait. I'll probably end up getting these books. Do you know how long each book is?
I have them right here. let's see. Six. I actually do. They're right here. I was just organizing some bookshelves. I don't know. They're a couple hundred pages each.
Oh,
like
wow.
Like 100, 140. But they read really quick. They're that manga size, you know, black and white graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually really interesting to read through all six now, because it was like 6 years of his life. And to watch his writing and art get noticeably better from volume to volume.
Right.
It's kind of fascinating to just watch someone's work grow with them over the course of 6 years.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, it's the only one thing is like, I don't normally read like comics that aren't online. So it's like, I'm always very skeptical, but this sounds like something I'd really want to just go ahead and dig into.
You won't be sorry.
Awesome. So we're talking about what it means to be a comic these days.
It's hard out there for a comic.
Yeah, it's hard out there for a comic. I was having a conversation with Chibutikin, who's on Twitter. She's Melissa Kircher of Tin Lizard Productions, about whether or not or like how different print comics are from web comics, and this is something we'll go into more later, because I was mostly arguing or discussing, let's say, progressively discussing, we'll say.
If it was you, it was arguing. Just say it.
Well, it was mostly based around the update schedule, and like if a print comic, you might get once a week, but usually once a month. And if you have a bad comic, you're stuck with that bad comic for 30 days until the next one comes out. And even then, your animosity might build over so much of how bad it was or whatever, or you might not even care to go ahead and pick that up. Versus, like, say, if you have like a daily or a 3 times a week updating comic, if you're stuck with like a bad comic, obviously you're not getting like 22 pages at a time, but if you're stuck with a bad one, there's a couple days more to wait. But it basically came down to presentation. And for the most part, a lot of webcomics are going to fit your classic definition of art. But, of course, you got some people that are going to be doing stuff you can't really do in art, do in print, I mean, or just isn't done in print. Particularly, you don't have any books for Things Wrong With Me, do you?
I used to have another webcomic,
yeah,
which had to stop because of the artist had to leave, yeah. Called Legend of the Burrito Blade, and forgive me, and it was traditional comic stuff, and it's still up, burritoblade.com, if you want to go read the archives, and it was designed to be a comic book page. I set out to make sure that Things Wrong With Me could never hit print.
Why is that?
Because, you know, as somebody, I've written novels, I write print comics, you know, I do all of this stuff, and I figured on some level, if I was going to do a webcomic, I wanted to do something that was so purely a webcomic that you could not move it to another medium successfully without changing its structure. You know, there are certain comics like that where you can't really make movies out of them because their structure is so inherent in being a comic. There are certain novels where the structure of the novel is so inherent that if you try to move it to another medium and tell that same story in a different way, you have to make major sacrifices. You have to change the skeleton of the work,
mm-hmm.
and how it's presented. I want to see if I could find some way to do that and still be a webcomic.
You could probably do something in Flash with it, a Flash animation. That's as close to leaving the original content or the original presentation, as we were discussing, to do it. And I could see that. As far as print, I can see how you would print it, but it would look a little like lots of white dead space.
It would be hideous.
That's interesting. I mean, that's really interesting because most webcomicers want to make the transition to print.
And I do with other things. I just wanted a project where, you know, let's see how far out on the fringe I can get and still be able to justifiably call myself a webcomic until some other better term comes along for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just experiment with the form, because how else do you find those limits?
I got a question from Zoe, who does Things Wrong With Me. Look, ZoeRobinson.com. All over the house, that's what she does. Okay, sorry. She comments, surely a Flash animation ceases to be a webcomic?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it would, since it's animation, or if you do an animated GIF, because then that becomes an animation. But of course, if you look back at Scott McCloud, they brought that up, and like if you look at each single frame, like in film, like of a movie film, that's still art, and it isn't really, 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 really slow sequence. But yeah, but still, it's how it's presented. You were gonna say?
Oh, I was just saying, you know, I thought we were talking about moving it to a different medium, like, you know, animation, and there you could do Flash.
Yeah.
You know, we could move it to a podcast and do it as an audio thing.
Hey!
Like an old audio drama.
Yeah. That sounds a little fun, actually.
It works. You know, and that's kind of the thing. But again, I want to find a way to not be able to redo it in print.
Right, not specifically.
Just be hideous. And sad and wrong. And as someone who's done some graphic design and done some typesetting stuff, I would just feel evil putting that into print. Unless there's a whole lot of money and I can just kind of buy happiness, then we'll talk.
All right. Just quickly looking over the chat room to see if anything's going on. Yeah, somebody asked. Yeah, I wondered how Chibutikin was supposed to be pronounced. So there you go. problem solved. All right. To see here, art is the definition. The mind's not a comic. That's Tree Lobsters. Yeah. So not really. Some people consider Homestar Runner a comic. It acts like a comic. No, sorry. If you do think that, you're dumb. It's an animation. It's an animation. How can you get that confused?
What about let's say, and I know I've seen one or two, but the only example comes to mind is from a comic strip that I can think of. It's where you have a static comic strip, and yet they add animated enhancements to it. For example, if you were looking
Ornery Boy
from the point of view of a robot, then you might have some little counter ticking down in the corner of the panel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's like the Terminator, you know, with his graphics and stuff. Or their eyes might blink or something like that.
That
sounds like a mutant cyborg baby from hell. But
no, there's a couple of comics I can reference. One is I think it's called Ornery Boy. And it looks like it might be like it's from a Flash animator that used to be on Newgrounds a lot. It kind of has like that familiar kind of Flash feel to it. It's got kind of like the color sets, the way things are shaped, and I don't think it's actually made in Flash, but I think it's made in some sort of animator-ish program with shapes and everything. Every once in a while, or like every few comics, there's something that's animated. A while ago, there was something that was a little bit interactive, but essentially it doesn't really change a whole lot. It's usually something that loops. And, that's usually like, I would call that a comic with an animation enhancement or something like that. Cause you can basically splice it and cut it and it, you know, stop the loop and boom, there you go. It doesn't add that much more other than, a little bit of, oh, cool, you know, a little bit. It's not like it's...
So it's like Marvel's motion comics, in a sense.
It doesn't depend
They're
on it.
They're not really animation. They're just comics that have a camera moving over them.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. You've seen some of those on Drunk Duck or...
Marvel's released them. You can find them on, like, iTunes, and I think Marvel's website has them.
That's where they kind of, like, take the actual graphic novel and they'll actually cut out characters and make them move a little bit and have voiceover.
Yep.
Yeah. That's still, I would say that's more on the animation side.
Borders, yeah, I mean. They're probably using something like After Effects or something like that to put a little bit of motion in there. I don't know. It's a gray area.
They draw that line.
I would say it's technically a technically animation since it's very much a part of that particular presentation versus, like, say, an Ornery Boy, it's not dependent upon that one panel having something that animates in it. There was something called Lizzie or something like that. It was actually, I would say it was an interactive comic/animation because it had, like, panels, and you'd have to, like, click or hover your mouse over a panel in order to see, like, the text popping up or like the little dialogue going along. It was very much dependent upon that. It was interactive comic animated something. It was like, I've never seen anything like it. I don't even know if it's still online. But you basically, once you got to the end, it would all stop and it would be a comic. So it would finish up being giving you the finished product. There it is. Dead Winter is a really, really awesome zombie comic, but it doesn't really focus on the zombies themselves, just on the people. And people should go check it out. Hang on, what's the website? Dead Winter. Deadwinter.cc is the site. And every 100th page, he does full Flash animation of it. And I think the last couple of times that he's done it before the most recent one, it's been basically the panel is slowly animates basically each the page slowly animates each panel as it's happening, so there is movement and stuff, and by the time I got to the end, I believe it was a solid single page, so it would stop and be a comic, but the most recent one was, like, incredibly involved. It still did stop and end up being a page that, you know, didn't move, but what was finished, there was some stuff that you didn't see that happened that had to be inferred a little bit more with the still image that was after the end. It was like, you know, that's not something you can do in print, so that's one up on what web comics can do, and there's no way to print these cool things that especially what you see in, like, Dead Winter.
Right.
But it's a very occasional treat in that instance. So,
you know, and nowadays you can do it in stuff like, you know, the iPhone and iPad apps and Comicology and all those.
True.
You can release them that way at least and still get the animation, still get the comic feel.
Mm-hmm. Or even, iPad.
Yeah, I'm just wondering when someone's going to pick that up.
Yeah. I still like my print media. I like being able to... I don't want to turn on my computer just to do that, you know, and I don't have $400, $500 to pick up a tiny electrical thing, you know, just grab a book, go sit in my bed and read, you know, sort of thing, you know. There's
sure.
I don't think print is ever going to go away. Let's see here. We got somebody on the line who would like to very much talk, and Ben Carver. We'll get Ben Carver on here in just a second. But we got to go to break real quick here. And when we come back, we'll get to talking some more, and we'll get Ben Carver on the show. It was heaven when I stepped through the door. Left the toilet paper in my local comic bookstore. Throw away to my man behind the counter. Behind the counter. After I make my books, I could be here another hour. Because we got to discuss the latest developments. Internet rumors, villains, and alien intelligence. Now it's onto the shelves to see what's marked new. This is my Wednesday ritual, you know how the God do. Got this last month, but this is cover number two. My stack's getting kinda hefty and I'm only half through. I don't grab the book in front, son, I gotta dig through. Rifle through the merchandise to find the perfect issue. Turn the other way. Go check the trades. I can't pick up every limited series nowadays. And of course I can't forget the back stock. Gotta find the buried treasures hidden deep within the box. Minus the Rorschach blots, this is the ink spot. Piece to Blair Butler for recommending the new word hot. You wanna match collections? Why not? I got books old enough to make you wanna do the box trot. All the way from classic runs to the one shots. Crossovers from epic events and alternate universe plots. Ayo, these books ain't the only thing they got. This is also the official pen and paper RPG stop. Gaming every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Not craps or seal, but I'm shooting dice on my block. Reed keeps it live with that comic shop rock. From the trading card games to the figurines of Spock. From the D&D minis to the Shonen Jump drops. To the Wizard magazines and the Superman clocks. Mr. F keeps it live with that comic shop rock. From the Dragon Ball banners to the Trigun watch. Where's your allegiance at? Iron Man, a cat, Booster Gold got what was coming. What'd you think of that? Atlantis is where Nitro now resides at. Namor spared him Atlantean torture, left his skin intact. Do you follow X-Factor? Quicksilver's back. Still making promises to give you
hurt people, back. Man.
Cal, Diana, and Bruce are reforming the Justice League. What's up with Bart Allen and the Speed Force beat? Thanks to Bats and Robin, Gotham is super crime free. We got a new Wonder Woman. Supes is back on the scene. Everyone outside Metropolis yelling how keys are fake. Dealing with Mala and Brain, Outsiders hit number 40. My favorite book right now is The Exterminators from the Vertigo line. The story's multi-layered. There's far more going on than what appears, but I won't ruin the story. Number 9 just got here.
That was Comic Shop Rock by Logic One at musicalley.com by Mevio.
Start recording. All right, and we're back. Segment 3 of 127. Got a message in my email from someone from Stephanie McMillan, and I think I remember what she did before, but she has a website at stephaniemcmillan.org. She says that something that she had done on her site had got posted on the Sun Sentinel. So I just wanted to mention that one of her Code Green webcomics, but it's like a flash animation that she did. And I thought that was kind of cool to actually get a little heads up from a local paper. South Florida Sun Central. And so I'll post a link to that in the notes. And right now we're going to be looking on the website to see who's advertising on the Webcomic Beacon for this Sunday broadcast. That's right. This is something we do every Sunday, that we do a live broadcast. We mention who's advertising on our Project Wonderful Ads. And to find out more about advertising and or sponsoring a particular episode of the website of the Webcomic Beacon, you go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise. First off, on our leaderboard, we have an advertisement by Comics Talk. That's comics with an X, talk.com. A source for, you know, not just webcomic news, but comic news, things that are going on comic-y, with discussion. It's gone over a facelift since I've last looked at it. I've had a computer confiscated and had to reboot my computer a million times. So I haven't logged in for a long time, but it looks a lot cleaner, looks a lot nicer than what I remember it being. So go ahead and check out Comics Talk with an X.com. And next up on our tower advertisement, we have, let's see here. Oh, that looks cute. Let's see. It is messenger-comic.com. Messenger in square parentheses, I guess. A sci-fi webcomic by Bugbite is the moniker that guy's going by. So go ahead and check that out. Messenger-comic.com. And we also have, once again, Beware the Slumpy. I don't actually read this comic, but I like the name, BewareTheSlumpy.com. So go ahead and check that out. Thanks to everyone who's advertised on the Webcomic Beacon, and please check out our advertisers, because they give us money.
Yeah, they're nice.
And in turn, we can advertise the Webcomic Beacon. It's a vicious cycle.
And you could be nice, too, by advertising on our site as
well. Yeah.
That would be so nice. It's like a nice circle of niceness.
Circle jerk. No.
Well, I wasn't saying that. It was a nicer circle of niceness.
Maybe we have a different definition of what a circle jerk is.
Or what we find nice. I don't know.
I don't know.
What'd you do when you find something nice?
Anyway, moving on. One last little bit of news. I've mentioned this. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the Webcomic Beacon before. I might have. I think I did. But I've started to do Rampage Network Presents YouTube videos. And basically, I'm going to be going through the Rampage Network members. And if anyone has seen, like, Atop the Fourth Wall, that's where Linkaro reviews, you know, comics, print comics. And the part that I'm talking about is, like, when he's going through, panning through the comics and panels. I kind of had an idea. I wanted to do something with my new camera now, but that or make
oh
the video.
Oh God, he's gonna be doing skits.
No. This,
as long as it doesn't involve skin, it's okay with
no,
me.
No, what I'm doing here, that I wanted to do something with video, and I started getting, hey, I'll do something like that with webcomics, and I'll make it a promotional thing. So basically, for like a minute or two, I get the Rampage Network member on to talk about their comic. So I record their audio. I'm not in it at all as audio. And I get them to record audio, talk about their comic, essentially plugging it, talking about their characters. And I'll take what they say, and I'll go work with them with it, and I'll chop it up, and I'll to put it in a better presentation for about 2 minutes. And then I'll go through some of their logos, some of their promo art, and also their comics. And I might ask for larger resolution of their comics. And I'll go through matching up some of what they're saying with their comics, panning and cycling through. And so I thought it was a really cool little thing, and I'm going to be going through. I only have the Rampage Network. The Rampage Network presents the Webcomic Beacon as the first experiment one, since it's not a comic. And I was just basically going through some of the art that guests and fans have sent to us. So that's up there. And I also recently did Amiya, which is at AmiyaChronicles.com, and I'm really pleased with that, and I feel like I only can get better here, and I'll be going through with some other people soon for theirs. So I'm really excited about this, because I like making videos. It's so cool. But yeah, maybe sometime later I will be doing stuff that will involve skits, but I'm not going to say too much now because I actually have to start it. But aside from that...
Oh, my God, he's going to be doing skits.
Just to piss you off. But anyway, you can go to YouTube.com/user...
He's going to get a bag of props, and oh my God, it's going to be like a college.
No, I'm not going to be Carrot Top. But anyway, Go to youtube.com.
How do you know what my project was going to be?
He's going to be like Gallagher and get like a watermelon and
no,
a hammer.
No. YouTube.com/user/RampageNetwork and check out the videos. Subscribe if you'd like to. I hope to do them at least every 2 weeks is my goal. But we'll see how that works.
Picture in my head of Fess on a tricycle running around in a circle with his watermelon.
And with, it was a little ukulele playing tiptoe through the tulips.
All right, so Ben, you're on this show for a reason, and that's to talk about comics or your quote-unquote definition, unquote, of comics.
Okay, comic is a flat visual art form used to convey a story that is published on a schedule.
Why a schedule?
That's very specific.
I will tell you why a schedule, because for it to be a comic, you have to publish on a schedule. If you don't, you're just a graphic novel. Because the schedule is the most important thing. It has to be serialized. That's how comics always were when they were a comic. You know, it's always number one, number two, number three. It's a serial.
But that doesn't... serial has nothing to do with actual...
It has everything to do with it.
No, well, a serial just has to do how you put them in your bookshelf. One
no, a
after
serial
another.
Has to do with when you update it.
One after... No, no.
Do it whenever the hell you want. It's not a comic anymore. You're just putting it up whenever you want. And
actually,
no,
they're numbered because they're periodicals.
Yeah, it's
if you're
serialized.
Thinking about classic comics, they're periodicals, which isn't the same thing as being. I mean, they could have a different story every month. They used to.
Yeah,
right.
But the whole idea is you tell a story in a sequence, and to do a sequence, you have to have a schedule, and to have a schedule, you have to update on that schedule.
What if you tell a different story every month, though?
Yeah. Yeah, Ben. Yeah.
then you're doing some sort of variety hour thing. I don't know.
Well, no, that's a periodical. Like, you know, Superman. You could have Superman number one.
Zoe, pause your Ustream. Zoe, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Hi. You've been a little active Zoe. With us in the Skype recently. And you disagree with Ben.
Yeah, the part about scheduling, a comic doesn't need a schedule in order to be a comic.
Especially a webcomic.
Ben, let her talk.
Okay.
Webcomics is a specialized part of that. And to a certain extent, you could also argue that that doesn't require a schedule. But the earliest comics weren't scheduled. They turned up in newspapers and magazines on an as-is basis. But they're still very definitely comics.
Or they were collections from the newspapers on...
Right.
Well, know,
I'm talking about the original
print. Yeah, originally,
Things like the Yellow Kid or Foxy Grandpa from the late Victorian era. They turned up when the artist had them printed.
Yep,
but
yep.
They're definitely comics, even if you look at them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because just labeling a time period to a physical media of which you can grab off the bookshelf at any point in time and not know when the hell they were actually published, that doesn't have any impact of what they actually are.
I really have to fight you guys on this because I think a consistent updating schedule is paramount in comics and webcomics.
Oh, I agree that it's paramount, definitely, but it does not change the definition.
I think it should be a part of the definition. I think it definitely should become a part of the definition, and if it's not, it should be.
Well, you're one of those elitists, aren't you?
I think part of this is that you're drawing a weird line between comics and what you're calling graphic novels. You know, that if something's collected, if it doesn't come up with a schedule, then it's just a graphic novel. Graphic novels are comics, too.
Well, they have a comic format, but they... Look, to me, a comic is something that if I expect it at X time, it's there at X time.
Well, yeah, but, what if there's a writer's strike?
Yeah.
What if there's delayed?
Well, they get overpaid as is, so I don't care.
Oh! Wow. Ben, you just... Hey, I got a question. Are you a member of the Something Awful forums?
No.
Well, go ahead and do it. I want to see what happens.
No, I do not want to go in there. I have a target on my back already.
Gee, I wonder why.
Look, I really do think that a schedule is paramount with a comic, a webcomic, any sort of visual media where you're trying to tell a story. Mm-hmm. If you're not, then your updates are infrequent, you know, that hurts not only you, but it hurts your readers as well.
Mm-hmm. And but it doesn't stop your work from being a comic.
Yeah.
It makes you unfocused.
Well, to a certain extent, even Alan Moore would disagree with you there.
By your definition.
This League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, he's quite adamant, especially in the latest issue of Comic Heroes, where he says, if our comic is delayed for a couple of months, it won't matter, as long as the updates have good art and good storytelling when they come out.
Alan Moore, I do like the guy, but, you know, to be honest, he is a snake-worshipping heathen, so... Let's move on.
Okay, well, we will actually schedule another time in August to talk about comic scheduling, comic updating, and comic buffering. And, Ben, you will be on that show.
All right, thank you.
And so we'll save most of that for later, but I will close off. I'll try to get this end of this debate rolling by saying, so basically, by your definition, in your own words, I can go to my bookshelf, pull a series of comics off of it. Oh, wait, they're not comics. It's completed. It's done. There is no update. There's no time related to them. They can't possibly be comics anymore. Doesn't matter.
If the story finishes, that's obviously a different... It's a different definition when the story finishes. I'm talking about a currently running graphic story using sequential art... Has to have a reliable schedule of update to be considered a comic in my eyes.
And then you add, unless it's already done.
I said currently running.
I know.
I said currently running. Did I not?
Yeah, you said currently running, but a done comic is not currently running, so therefore, by your definition, it can't be currently running. So therefore, it's not a comic.
You're not going to let me win this at all, are you?
Right here.
Oops, hang on, let me get you back on... Shoot. I think we lost Adam. We're getting him back. Hello? Hello?
Okay. Hello.
Something happened.
And then there was that time Skype stopped working.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Remotely.
And it was a terrible time, full of darkness and woe.
I accidentally somehow held the whole conference. I had no idea how to turn it back on. After Adam left, so... Okay.
Okay, well... So, you know, I know I come off strong, and I don't mean to, but I really do think that, you know, too many people put their things on hold for no good reason, and that's why I'm coming off like this, because I see it all the time. I see people that say, I'm not going to update for a while, or you know, they put their long running series on hold. A good example in print is Brian Hitch. Fantastic artist, but it takes him forever to do one issue. Should never be hired if he takes that long.
You've got to remember, actually, back in the Authority days, he was never late. A lot of the lateness stuff is, you know, other things going on, and sure. But I don't think that affects the definition of what a comic is. I agree with you completely. You know, schedules need to be kept. Industry, both webcomics, need to be better about it.
Right, and you know, you mentioned Will Eisner earlier, and you know, I'm taking this from an indirect source because my mentor, his first job in the industry was working for Will Eisner, and a lot of what my ideal is and work ethic is comes from my mentor, and I like to think some of that was actually from Eisner himself about, you know, one page a day every day. That's what was instilled in me, and that's what was instilled in those Silver Age greats, and I'd like to think that was what Will Eisner's definition of running a comic was.
Well, I think your definition works better not for so much a comic but a periodical. Because you're right. If DC, Marvel are cranking out periodicals, and if they're late, then that causes a lot of problems. If there's a holdup or whatever, technically, it's not really a periodical because it missed its periodic update.
But anyway, we're going to move on from this because we're going to save this more for another episode.
Certainly.
Of the Webcomic Beacon. But Ben, thank you for your contribution to this week's show.
All right. Thank you for having me. I know it's been a while.
Okay. Now, what website do you hail from that you want people to check out?
Okay. It's several. The first and foremost is my currently running comic, MajesticKnightComic.com. My comic, Majestic Knight, The Dark Age. Let's see here. There's also my other comic that I'm not drawing, but I am writing, HeroAcademyComic.com. And look forward to some new projects up ahead that I'm working on that are just coming up.
Alrighty. I'm sure
are
you'll tell
skits?
Us about them
You're
later.
You're not doing skits, are you?
No, I'm not doing skits.
All right. Well, Ben, thank you once again for coming on the show.
All right. And you better not get a big bag full of props or I'm going to come up where you are and
I will do that just to make fun. All right. See you later, Ben.
Bye.
All right.
All right, Zoe, thanks very much for coming on the show. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention about comics?
Not really. Aside from the definition I sent you earlier on, I think the only definition of comic that you're going to get everyone to agree on is that a comic is what they're pointing at when they're talking about it.
True.
Well, awesome. Zoe, what is your website again? I keep forgetting.
I have two at the moment. The Life of Nobty Mouse at nobmouse.net and All Over the House at alloverthehouse.net.
And your comic advice website as well.
Oh yes. I keep forgetting about that. The webcomic builder at webcomicbuilder.com.
I am working on something that's about designing a proper webcomic website, and hopefully I'm going to get that out. And I'll let you know about it once it does. All right. Well, Zoe, thanks very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. This is a great episode, actually. Really good conversation. Uh-oh.
Hello?
Yep, I'm still here. Oh, man. I just noticed I got sunburn all over my legs because I was in a canoe for 2 hours.
What were you doing?
Canoeing.
Oh,
I was in a canoe.
I guess that makes sense. Okay. Canoe. You say so.
Oh, wow. That really stings. I was just so excited about, oh, shit, I got to do a podcast. I was like, okay. So, all right. So, everyone listening, we have, since we are a website and we have a podcast and we use WordPress, that means we have a comment section for this particular podcast. Now, if you have your own comments about comic definitions and such, or if you have some comments about what we've been talking about, please, 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 please leave a message in our comment section. If you would like to go ahead and record yourself and send us an MP3 or call 1-320-310-0922 and leave us a voicemail with your comments, I would love to. I would love to have somebody finally use that and leave a voicemail. I've had that number for like over a year.
One of these days you're going to wind up just calling yourself.
I actually have called it a couple of times to remind me of things.
Do you ever call it and like leave messages for yourself in funny voices?
No, but I could.
Hi, Fast. Yeah, I bet you don't know who this is.
You can put the... Totally work that into the skit.
Oh, I should get drunk and just call myself and see what happens.
That's kind of sad in a way. You get drunk and call yourself.
It's better than me drunk dialing my whole phone book. Or at least 75% of it.
I mean, you'd think you'd try to call people and not get anyone and then get drunk. You'd think.
Oh,
you'd
just... Mark.
And then you just call yourself because you know you'll be home.
Oh, Mark. Oh, boy. Already.
What would really suck is if you didn't answer.
Anyway. If Tanya was here, I'm sure she'd be in pain. From Mark. All right. I believe that's pretty much it. I'm going to check in with the chat room one last time before we go ahead and close this out. And it doesn't seem to be any extra questions that I see. Can you? No, that's bad. That's dumb. Anyway, so that's it. If you'd like to participate within our weekly live broadcasts of the Webcomic Beacon, you can check out our Ustream channel. Just go to webcomicbeacon.com/live for the link. We used to broadcast on TalkShoe, but that was kind of a pain in the butt, and it was starting not to work for a while. And I like the Ustream because it seems to be higher chances for strays to come in and just, hey, what's this? And listen to the show. I like it a lot better. It works a lot better. I don't have to dial in another number, so I can keep the lag down. So that's really good. So go ahead and check that out. And so we're gonna get going here. This has been an extra long episode of the Webcomic Beacon, I believe. And once again, this has been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
This is Adam from ThingsWrongWithMe.com. Because there are many things wrong with me.
Boy, do I know the feeling.
All right, stay tuned and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/webcomicbeacon. I'll be looking for ideas for August shows, and not particularly just ideas, but getting people on the show as well. So check that out. See you all next week.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Damn, Fess, what'd you have to... Nah, I don't want to know. Never mind.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Because you'll give us details. You'll give us, like, a step-by-step detail of...
Oh, man, it was like Troll 2.
Oh.